Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our good friend Jake Crane of Crane and Company once again joins the airwaves. We're talking all things SEC football, college sports, everything in between. Jake, what's going on, my man? Appreciate you taking the time.
Man, always down to hop on here. You guys are doing a great job, you and Blaine and the whole crew, man. So, it's, again, counting down the days. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in sports, but let's not pretend like college football isn't the best, all right? Let's stop that pretending right now.
Jake, I'm going to hit you with a zinger to start something off, or start this off, if you will, because we're a couple months away, not just from kickoff, but we're a couple months away from EA Sports College Football officially being released. I know you're going to be getting it. We're all going to be playing it. What's the first thing Jake Crane is going to do when you get the game? Is it going to be Road to Glory? Is it going to be Online Dynasty? Are you going to create yourself as a player? Are you just going to play an exhibition? Are you going to look at the stadiums? What's the first thing you're going to do when you get the game?
Look, there's one mission, all right? It's become the best online dynasty team possible, but how do you get there, right? I got to feel the game out. It's been a while, man. You know, I got my feet taped to the bicycle on this one. I've got to be able to, you know, get back in the flow of it. I know what I want to run. You know, maybe the nuance in the game's different. You know, I got to get back in the field. So you do that by playing online matches. And, you know, at first, I'm just out there working my stuff. It's like a comedian, you know, doing like 5 minutes of stand up at random places. I'm just working the stuff out, you know, seeing what works, what doesn't. This is all into taking Kent State, the Golden Flash. What's that flash? It's a Golden Flash, and becoming the greatest online dynasty that college football, video gamedom, or video gamedom in general, has ever seen. My wife's prepared. My animals are prepared. My body's prepared. And we're going to start an online dynasty with Crane and Company with different personalities, and we'd love for you to be in it. I think JD Cone's taking Georgia Southern, obviously, he's from Statesboro. I'm hopping on Kent State, right? I'm taking over for Sean Lewis, taking it to the next level. I think JD Pakel's getting Bowling Green or something like that. Blaine, I don't know. He's going back and forth right now. He hadn't committed yet. So yeah, man. I invite you, if you want to join, if you want to get that ass beat real quick, Chris, you can hop in this online dynasty.
I was just thinking, Jake. I don't know who my team would be. Maybe like a Toledo. I will say,
yeah, it's got to be Group of Five. That's the rule.
I will say this, Jake. I've actually got a G5 connection from the standpoint of my girlfriend is an Ohio Bobcats alum.
Wow.
She was stunned. I even knew who Ohio was because
maybe that's the, you got to trust the science, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, how proud of you would she be? How proud of you?
She wouldn't give a damn, admittedly, but still, it's a fun story either way. So there you go.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll have to link on that for sure when the game comes out. But let's talk some real football on the field. Some of these spring games, and Jake, obviously, as you and I both know, drawing conclusions from a spring game, it's a fool's errand. But, I mean, that's what we do over 100 days away from kickoff. So let's start in Tuscaloosa. What you saw from Kalen DeBoer, his first spring game. Things are different, obviously, but I think a good different. There were signs from Jalen Milroe that were positive. The running game, the offensive line. But all in all, what did you take away from Kalen DeBoer's first A-Day?
Well, I just want to touch this before we go through the gauntlet of spring. And I agree with you, you know, you got to try and find something to get out of spring. Here are the things that you try and find. Number one is, did you stay healthy? That's the most important question. I mean, you know what happened to South Carolina last year on the offensive line? You know, sorry, Chris, hate to bring that up, but that's the number one thing. You want to be healthy, right? Something else that you can see, new guys, young guys, like Cam Coleman for Auburn, for example. It's your first somewhat close to a game-like experience. You're playing at the stadium. Your preparation, unless you play for Ole Miss, is somewhat game-like. There is a somewhat game-like atmosphere, and you want to see maybe some guys perform better under those circumstances than maybe they do regularly at practice. We see that all the time, and vice versa, the inverse of that. Guys that are really good in practice, but, you know, are on the back of a milk carton during a game. And then obviously you can see the physicality. You can see guys move around. Outside of that, it's so peanut butter and jelly. That's why I think that we should be able to play different teams for spring games, maybe Power Five to Group of Five, and keep it in state, especially if we go to super conferences. But, you know, having said all that, you know, watching Alabama, Jalen Milroe, and I talked to Kalen DeBoer down at the Senior Bowl, and he said they were going to adjust their system to fit their personnel, which is the smartest thing that a new head coach can do, regardless of who you're taking over. So I'm not worried about Jalen Milroe. I think they're going to tailor the offense to Jalen. He's got experience. He's a really good player. The offensive line, I thought, looked better. You know, it was a problem last year, which is surprising, not just the center not being able to snap the ball, but you look defensively, the physicality level wasn't normally what you're used to seeing from an Alabama-type team, especially when you know what the other side of the ball is pretty much doing most of the time. Now, that isn't to say that Alabama won't be good defensively. That isn't to say that Alabama may just be really, really good offensively. But I didn't see the same. If I close my eyes and listen to that spring game, not that you're trying to just take anybody out or hurt anybody, that spring game sounded a whole lot different than the spring games I'm used to seeing under Nick Saban, because Nick Saban is not one of these guys that pulls back. I mean, they were running good on good inside drill on Tuesday's practice of game week. Like, they don't, it's like Dan Hurley and UConn. Like, they're out there, you know, bashing each other hours before the game. Like, some guys just prepare like that. They like to get lathered up like that. That'll be clipped, I'm sure, for context. But I do think there's a sense of worry there defensively a little bit. But we're not going to know until we know with this Alabama team and Kalen DeBoer. That's why I continue to say that I think his tenure will be defined by the level of freakout that he takes on the first time something inevitably goes wrong, like it does for pretty much everyone at some point during the season.
Jake, let's move to Athens, Georgia, because you mentioned the sounds of spring, and Georgia's spring game sounded like a car crash damn near every play. Physicality was a good place to go looking for it, if you will. Kirby Smart and company, they always bring it, but they're smart about it, but they always bring it. Anything jump out to you in that one? I tell you, the wide receiver room looked really good. Dominic Lovett leading the way. Of course, they got to answer the questions of losing Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, but what's scary to think, they could end up being better at wide receiver, which, again, is a really scary thought. Besides that, anything jump out to you from Georgia's G-Day?
I would have said this before the spring game, but I'm going to tell you, Chris, it's going to be really hard for me not to pick these cats. Like, it's just, and we don't make predictions, our true predictions, our final predictions until the end of fall camp for multiple reasons. But just looking at it, I think Georgia and Ohio State have the best rosters in college football right now. Now, I know it's an interesting situation at quarterback right now for Ohio State. We'll see how that plays out. I still think Will Howard's going to be the guy, even though Chip's waffling back and forth. But when you watch Georgia and you look at just up front, which is where the game's won and lost, right? That's the engine of the car. That's the heart of the body. That's the roots of the tree. They're just different. They look different. They move different. The depth that they have, you know, their ability to replace people. It reminds me of when Nick Saban and Alabama were running through college football like everybody else wasn't there. They weren't just beating you. They were beating you up. Like, those are two different things. He had such a grip on college football. Not that Georgia has that much of a grip, because I think there's other teams that do. But where are they weak at? Like, where when you look at Georgia, and I would love to, and I'm fortunate I get to talk to coaches all the time, but I need to ask some of them, like, just between me, you, and the fence post, like, where are these guys vulnerable at? It's like in the new Fallout. If you haven't seen it, spoiler alert. Like, there's a scene where they're in those big Iron Man suits, and one guy used to wear one knew where the one little problem was in the armor, and he shot a bullet right through it and killed the guy in it, in what was supposed to be indestructible. It's like, where the Titanic, where if they hit an iceberg, are you like, oh no, everybody's going to die. Where's Billy Zane? Like, I don't know, Chris, do you know?
I think you just got to hope they play bad. I mean, that's your only hope.
And even if they do, like, here's the problem.
Their C game is good enough to beat most people when they play their B game or A game.
But it's not like it's one side is so dominant and you just hope the other one. Like, if the offense plays bad, they can win a game on defense and special teams. If the defense doesn't play well, they can score 60 points. Like, it's just, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough.
Like you said, it's going to be hard to pick against them, that's for sure. Jake, let's go to the Texas and Oklahoma spring games, and I'm not necessarily asking you to overreact, but again, giving an opinion on this may be an overreaction. Based off what you saw, I mean, both were impressive in their own ways. I think both have question marks. You know, you look at Texas, I know Arch Manning stole the show, but offensively, they're just going to be a juggernaut. The secondary is a major question mark, though, for them. And then Oklahoma, I thought Jackson Arnold looked good. Deion Burks on the outside, I think, is going to be a star. They've got questions on the line of scrimmage, offensive line specifically, that will not be answered until we see live bullets this fall. Of what you saw of Texas and Oklahoma, did it in any way change your opinion on how ready those teams are for the gauntlet of the SEC? Do you still kind of feel the same? Did you have any major takeaways from both Norman and Austin over the weekend?
No, I mean, I kind of feel the same way for both teams as I did going in. I think when you look at Texas offensively, you know, the offensive line is where I think the difference between Texas and Oklahoma is. That and obviously Jackson Arnold's a brand new quarterback, and Quinn Ewers, even though it seems like he can't stay healthy for a year, seems like he's been there for 30 years, or at least in college football. So there's differences there. Well, let's start with Texas. Arch, great showing. You know, unofficially 19 of 26, 355 yards, three TDs and a pick. You know, had the 75-yard touchdown pass on the first throw. And listen, multiple things can be true at once, right? That was a huge bust off the motion, right? It was just a bust. It was 2v2. All right, and y'all both screwed up, to be honest with you. But you still have to put the ball where it needs to be, and Arch did that. On the second touchdown, the one he had to Isaiah Bond, right, off the press coverage, he just beat the DB. Now, the questions last year were on Texas's secondary, and I think they're warranted, right? And then you have Jaron Thompson, leaves to go to Auburn. But I think Texas has some good pieces there. The best part about this for Texas is that they do return some guys, but they are not going to face a better mind. They're not going to face a better offense than the one they face in practice all the time. So when you're going against greatness, eventually some of that rubs off on you, right? If I run into the wall, every time I run into it, a little bit of the wall is going to rub off onto me. It's just the way that things work. So I think that's in Texas's favor. What else is in Texas's favor? I know they lost some guys up front, all right, including Murphy and Sweat, but they also got some dudes up front. That front seven, this Club Med, you know, let's go to Versailles and drink champagne style of Texas defense that we've seen. That's gone. All right. Sark has helped fix that with the rest of that staff. So I think Texas is built to be able to come in and compete for an SEC championship. The problem is none of them outside of the head coach and Isaiah Bond really have experience in going through a full SEC season. And the common misconception about the SEC is, oh, you just have to beat Bama or you just have to beat Georgia. That's not it. The trick about going through the SEC is the week in and week out gauntlet. So we're going to see if Texas can survive that. Can Sark get them ready enough to do that? And can Quinn Ewers stay healthy enough for them to do that? Don't forget Malik Murphy balled out in last year's spring game and it almost caused a problem. And then he ended up kind of saving their ass against Kansas State. You know, he had some good, had some bad. But when it comes to Oklahoma, it's the same thing I'll tell Tennessee fans. It's the same thing I will tell any fan that has a new starting quarterback, especially a young guy. And I'm not in a bowl game does not give you seasons worth of experience. You have a ton of time to prepare for it. It's a totally different animal. The other team's probably not at full strength. Hell, you're probably not at full strength. When you have a new young quarterback, you have got to become a surfer as a fan. You have got to learn how to ride the wave. The question is not how high are the highs. The question is how low are the lows and how good is the team around that young quarterback to be able to insulate them and make them not have to go win every game and then not make them the reason that you lose every game. So until I see Jackson Arnold and Nico and some of these other guys go through a season of good and bad, because the best analogy I can use, Chris, and not to be too long-winded, but this needs to be explained, is that it's like Major League Baseball pitchers right when they get called up. It's amazing how many times young Major League Baseball pitchers go out in the first two starts and they shove. And you're like, oh my God. Like, we got the greatest young pitcher in the game. Like, this guy's going to win the Cy Young as a rookie. And then all of a sudden, game three and four, the book's out on him. And then he's got to adjust. So how is Jackson Arnold and Nico and these guys going to adjust when other people adjust to them? And we're not going to know that until we see it. So I think there'll be some good from Jackson and Oklahoma with Deion and some of the weapons that he has. But there's going to be some bad. And we saw a little bit of that last year. It's a tough question to answer. Coming into the SEC is not a great remedy on keeping the lows as high as possible, though.
Jake, certainly not asking you to make a prediction on the Oklahoma Sooners. Again, you'll do that into fall camp just before kickoff. But, you know, I dropped my best case and worst case. And I think Oklahoma, like you mentioned, there's going to be some growing pains. I've got their best case scenario this year if all goes well at 8-4. And obviously, Boomer Sooner, they are not thrilled about that. I think Oklahoma fans, they're probably not used to being, I don't know if insulted is the right word, but this is a very proud and history-rich, tradition-filled program. They've won a lot of football games, right? So I understand and appreciate and I respect the expectations, but do you feel like Oklahoma is being disrespected? Because it's Texas getting all the love. is it fair to say that Oklahoma is going to struggle in year one of the SEC? The over-under in Vegas is 6.5. Yeah. Again, my best case scenario for them is 8-4. Is that disrespectful in your mind? Should they be getting more love?
No, I don't think it's disrespectful. I will say one of the things that makes Oklahoma great and such a big brand is that they have really high expectations. What gives you the mixture of greatness plus toxicity as a fan base and as a program? It's expectations. It's the great catch 22. Without them, like Auburn, for example, if you don't expect that you're on the same level as Alabama and Georgia, you're already going to lose. Like it's already a losing thing. So what helps you reach that standard? It's great expectations. But what creates the most toxicity and leads you to a lot of bad decisions is great expectations. But the minute that falls, Oklahoma's screwed. So I don't blame the Oklahoma fan base for feeling disrespected at 8-4. I mean, we are talking about Oklahoma, right? You know, it's like telling the prom queen a couple years after high school she's not as hot as she used to be. Well, it could be true, but it's also somewhat disrespectful. Now, when it comes to this year, I think 8-4, in my opinion, is right about on the button. It's about where I have it right now. I'm going to go and tell you, those people out in Vegas, they're not wrong often. They're going to be somewhere around. And if the over-under at most places is 6.5, I think getting 8-4 is probably generous. So, no, on one hand, the Oklahoma fans, I'd be pissed. I think it helps you that you're pissed. I don't think Brent Venables would be happy with 8-4, and that's what you want. But the reality of it is, your ass probably going 8-4 because this game is played on the field by 22 guys at a time. And when you look at Oklahoma, unless they have a lot of guys punch above their weight consistently and catch a bunch of breaks injury-wise and bouncing of the ball, it's going to be really tough to get past that 8. But that doesn't mean that you're not building toward that expectation or that realistic expectation of being back to 10 or 11 or somewhere around there.
Jake, you mentioned new quarterbacks in the SEC. I want to go back to that because there were a number that made an appearance in their respective spring games. Blake Shapen at Mississippi State, Talen Green at Arkansas, the Norris Sellers at South Carolina. You mentioned Nico at Tennessee. And there may have been a couple others as well. Of those new guys, did anybody jump out to you? Like you mentioned, I thought you put it beautifully, Jake, that you have to have patience. You have to be willing to ride the wave because there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, right? And I think we saw that in some of the spring games. Did any of those new guys jump out to you, especially? I thought you saw some big performances from Nico, Green, Shapen, Lenoris, Sellers, et cetera.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know if you consider him new, but I thought Nussmeier looked really good at LSU.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
You can tell that guy, no terminology change. It's like when you go in Spanish from 101 to 102, you're like, man, I'm better. Like I can like find my way around after 101. You get to 103. Now it's no more like donde está la biblioteca. Like I'm asking where the science department on level 3 is. And like, I'm ordering stuff that's on the hidden menu. So that's where you feel like Garrett is. As far as the newest of the new, the infants of the SEC, look, Blake at Mississippi State with Jeff Lebby, I think that's going to be a good combination. I was actually let down. I thought Shapen was going to have a better year last year for Baylor. I always trust a good shortstop. He kind of let me down last year. We'll see. Jeff Lebby is a quarterback whisperer. He's going to put the quarterback in a good situation. And I thought he did that in the spring game. Now, the talent that Mississippi State has as a whole, they're not there yet. I think Jeff would tell you they're not there yet either. But I do think Blake and him will be a good match. I tell you what, physically, watching Lenoris Sellers move around, like it just, I'm starting to understand it. Like I'm starting to get it. I still think it looked a little fast for him because I think that was his first kind of big stage, kind of, hey, this is me arriving moment. But physically, very, very gifted. I think he has a bright future. I was glad to see the nuance in his throws. He's not just a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. I think DJ Lagway at Florida is going to be a problem in the future. Problem. Graham Mertz overachieved last year. He needs to be the guy this year. He is going to be the guy this year. He's a guy that proved me wrong last year coming from Wisconsin. I was happy to see that, even though Florida didn't have the best year. You know, outside of that, you know, I've got a good idea who Nico's going to be. I think you're just going to continue to see him improve week in and week out. You know, he'll try and force some things, but I think that system that Heupel has is designed not to take all the thinking out of it, but I think it is the Spark Notes version of getting the ball where it needs to go. And I think they do it fast. So look, did I think anybody just popped on the scene that I'm like, wow, this guy's going to take college football by storm, right? Like, you better get ready. This guy is, as a young guy, is worth 2 to 3 more wins more than what people think. No, not really. But I tell you, the future is bright at the quarterback position in the Southeastern Conference, because the level of athlete, the experience that they're getting right now, you just continue to see this cycle of great players over, like, oh, Jaden Daniels leaves. Oh, this guy, well, here comes another one. Here comes another one. Of the older guys, though, man, I think Jalen Milroe, I think he's going to be a problem, Chris. Like, and I don't say that with personal blossoming joy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And I want to highlight once again, Jake, I think Taylen Green and Bobby Petrino are going to be a problem.
Chris, I will say this. I will say this, and I didn't mention him earlier. I mentioned him on Crane & Company earlier last week. Watching him, you know, he was a guy that I watched at Boise that really struggled from an accuracy standpoint, right? Has a strong enough arm, very good athlete on the move, like long strider, physical, big guy, can really run. In that Arkansas game, he made a couple throws that looked to me like, hey, you know, maybe this guy can take the next step. You know, some guys just can't. Like Joe Milton, and I love the guy. Works hard, good leader. He can't make all the throws, and I don't think he'll ever be able to. DJU can't make all the throws. I don't think he'll ever be able to. You have to have the capability to do it, and it looks like at least somewhat, not that he's going to set the completion percentage record or anything, but that Green's bag from a throwing standpoint, from an ability to make all the throws standpoint, not just the whole shots, not just throwing the ball 65, 70 yards, his bag is a little bit deeper than what it has been. Now we'll see, you know, how that when the real bullets are flying, how that goes. But if he does that, Arkansas has a chance, that they have a chance to sneak up on some people.
Jake, our mutual friend Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn joined me the week of the spring game and made a proclamation that Cam Coleman is going to be the greatest wide receiver to ever play at Auburn. That was before the spring game. Your thoughts? He was electric in that game. I think he kind of put the SEC on notice a bit. Is it too bold to say that Cam Coleman, when it's all said and done, assuming he stays healthy, he is going to be the best wide receiver that Auburn's ever had?
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
By the way, Jake, side note too, on that note, did I see correctly? I don't know if it was you that said it or somebody else, at Auburn hasn't finished, I think, like top 50 in passing offense in like 20 years or something like that.
Oh,
that correct?
It's been
like,
bad.
It was like 1997 or something.
It wasn't
like that.
Me that posted it. Okay. I'm trying to remember who did.
Yeah, I did see that.
I saw it. Yeah, it's not good. Here's what I'll say about Cam Coleman. Very rarely, you know, you have guys that come in that are physically gifted as young players, right? That are physically ready to play at this level. Cam Coleman is physically ready, like, and looks big for this level. But it's the mental makeup that has to match up with that. It's the ability to understand the game from an IQ standpoint at a high level as a young guy. And there's still some things you got to work out. Plus all the attention around you and all the hype and all the expectation. There's that word again. Everything that I've seen and everything that I've heard from people within the program, and then what I saw on Saturday. Again, it's one of the things I said you could find out about young guys, right? How do they perform when they get their chance, when the lights are the brightest, at least up to this point? He is everything that they said he was coming out of high school. Now, there's a long way to go. It's a long career. But I have never been this excited, honestly, outside of Cam Newton, about a skill player coming to Auburn in a long, long, long time. Now, Peyton Thorne, just give him a catchable ball. That's it. Nobody's asking you to be Batman, Peyton. Just be Robin. Just be a really good Robin. Because his ability should open up other guys, too. And then you have Rivaldo Fairweather at tight end in the seam, right? So I am, like I said, I got asked on a space the other night, do you think he could win the Biletnikoff? Yeah, I'm not going to put a ceiling on this cat. You got to stay healthy. You got to catch breaks. But Chris, this guy is the best chance that I've seen in an Auburn uniform. Best chance that I've seen at receiver.
Can Peyton Thorne get him the football? That's the bigger question, I would argue. Is Auburn going to target a quarterback, or are they set? In the portal, I mean.
I think, you know, at this point, we'll see with Rashada. You know, he's in it. I know he's going to Georgia. I think he may come look at Auburn. A lot of other national guys, college football guys, were talking about this transfer portal is going to be, you know, just the wildest of all time. You got to understand, this is like the late signing period for recruiting now, which used to be signing day for recruiting, right? If something's going good after spring practice, you probably aren't getting in the portal. That's not going to say there's been a couple big names, but if you were expecting this is why I called it on Crane & Company, the Czech Cola or the Sam's Choice version of the transfer portal season, is because, hey, it's good. It's going to be good. It'll be interesting, but it ain't Coca-Cola. And listen, I love some Czech soda, and I grew up on it, that and Faygo. But no, I don't think there's going to be a guy out there that's worth it to go get. I don't think you go get a guy just to get a guy. I think you go get a guy to be the guy. And I think Hugh Freeze will tell you during this last, you know, right after the season, that was when to go get one. And Peyton Thorne, we'll see. Look, I talk about guys having the capability to get better. Do I think he can? I believe he can. He doesn't need to go win the Heisman for Auburn to be able to operate at the highest efficiency. He needs to run the ball effectively like he did last year, but just make the routine throws routine. Guys are open, hit them. I'm not expecting you to be Drew Brees or Dan Marino, but I'm not expecting you to be, oh boy, from the longest yard. You know, like the Paul Cruz backup, at this point, and even after spring, I'm not sure like how much more you're going to get out of Peyton Thorne. I think he needs a ton of help around him. Everybody does, but him especially, for Auburn to be upper echelon offensively. And that's where they want to be.
The only place to go was up, Jake, for a guy who finished dead last in the SEC in passing yards per game a season ago. So, sorry, didn't mean to rub that in.
Well, no, look, I watched it. I'm not shocked.
Not a surprise.
Here's what you have to ask yourself. Yeah. If you want to know how good your quarterback is, ask yourself this question. How many offers would he get if he got in the portal right now? Peyton Thorne hops in the portal right now. How many schools are knocking down his door at a high level to come play quarterback?
I mean, Jake, when you start your online dynasty, he might hop in the portal.
Kent State. Listen, I'll take him right now.
Might take him. Jake, stock risers from the spring. Do you have any? And I say that, and I also mention, we didn't even talk about Texas A&M in their spring game, and I feel like everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid because they've got a lot of talent, and I think a lot of people like Mike Elko. And I'm someone, Jake, I'm trying to come into this season and be conservative with expectations because I want to give A&M the opportunity to overachieve and have a feel-good season, but it does seem like a lot of people are drinking that Aggie Kool-Aid. Stock risers in your mind from spring, and is Texas A&M on the list?
I go into it, and you know this, Chris. I don't sit here and say, you know what, I'm gonna think about it this way for this team this year. I'm gonna think of it this way. I just need to see it. If I can see it and I know who's running it, right? Like Elko. I know what type of coach Elko is. Here's why I think Texas A&M is dangerous. Is because they don't care about this anymore. They don't care about what the media is saying. They don't care about the 8-4 jokes. They don't, like, every year is different. And I understand why people make those jokes, but what is Mike Elko's best attribute? Isn't it that he's like the funniest guy in the world? It isn't that he's great at doing Sudokus. He's unbelievable at getting the best out of each one of his players. And that's what we've seen as a head coach. Look what he did at Duke, right? And nobody was dribbling a basketball then. Hell, their football team is better than the basketball team, I think, to be honest with you. Kind of like Mark Stoops has done for a couple years before Cal left. That story for another day. But when I look at Elko, I think Texas A&M is going to get back to just being gritty, right? That's their true identity, right? Their identity is not red carpet. It's not, the best recruits, the most devoted recruit. That's not who Texas A&M is. Like, they're the Junction Boys. They're the 12th man. That, it's like I said when I went on Texags the other day. This doesn't need to be a beauty contest. It needs to be a bar fight. Now, does that mean that they're going to win every game they play? No. Does that mean that they have some glorious pass of championships? They don't. But I know when Texas A&M is at its best, right, they're punching people in the face and not like at the bar or at the club. Even with Johnny Manziel, when they were scoring all these points on offense and couldn't stop anybody on defense. What'd they win, Chris? Bunch of individual trophies. Won a Heisman. Oh, we beat Bama once. That was cool. They didn't win anything. It's about winning rings, and I think Elko understands that. So all the media stuff, all the, this coach called us out, so we're going to say this, or they saying we're cheating through NIL. You think Mike Elko gives a damn about any of that? This man doesn't care about anything except blocking and tackling, dog. That's it. That's like Ron Bergen. He cares about reading the news. That's what he wants to do. So, like, at the end of the day, I think Texas A&M is going to sneak up on some people. And I think they got the athletes to do it. I think Connor Wegman's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country. If he can stay healthy, now that's a big if. I think he's got a pro-level game. As far as outside of that, with spring, nobody – I was – Georgia, if their stock could get any higher, I mean, I'm not going to the spring game, and I'm like, woo, man, watch out. They beat the hell out of themselves. So, you know, in a very controlled environment, in a very peanut butter and jelly environment. I wouldn't really, honestly, Chris, not to duck the question, but I don't think there was any huge stock risers or huge stock fallers. I think a lot of people really just are who they were the 3 weeks of practice leading up to that.
And Jake, you mentioned Texas A&M. We talked Vegas earlier. Their over-under win total, it is 8.5. I don't think that's by accident. Yeah, Vegas.
I'm just telling everybody. And people say, here we go. Gassing up Texas A&M again. This is a totally different regime.
You know, right? That's going to be the message all offseason, though. Gassing up Texas A&M. It's going to be all from, at least from
it's
the
low-hanging
media.
Fruit, man. Yeah. It's low-hanging fruit. And listen, it's their fault. Mm-hmm. Right, like this, y'all have been like that. Nobody's saying you haven't, but it's a new regime, man. I'm telling you, this Elko hire was sneaky good, sneaky good.
Yeah, fun fact, and I'm not saying this out of hate. I'm just saying it to your point. Texas A&M has not won double digit games since Johnny Manziel was their quarterback. So there's been a lot of picks of double digit wins hasn't happened. Maybe Mike Elko surprises in year one. Jake, last thing, I'm gonna get you out of here. There's three teams we didn't talk about for a specific reason: Ole Miss, Kentucky, and Missouri. And Ole Miss and Missouri, these are teams that I think are, they're not just hopefuls, they're favorites in some aspects to make the college football playoff. Kentucky's a hopeful to obviously contend in the SEC. None of these three tackled in their spring game. And Ole Miss went as far as to, do we want to call that a spring game? There was a dunk contest. No,
that was a party.
Joey Chestnut's eating hot dogs. They're playing 7-on-7. They're having a tug of war with the fraternities and sororities. I know you're a football guy, Jake, through and through. There's nothing you probably love more. I think Jake Crane's alarm clock is the sound of pads popping. You're a football guy through and through. Yeah. So when you see this, does it make you squirm a little bit? Do you hate it? You've got, again, we got two-hand touch. We got Ole Miss not even putting helmet and pads on. Your thoughts on this? Because it does seem like there is a line in the sand of people who they're warming up to it and think, hey, this is college football now. This is what you got to do. And obviously there's some people, like if they ever did this at Georgia and Bama, those fan bases would have a revolt.
Look, here's where I'm, having been in it, you know, from us a decade, like I know how little the spring game in the grand scheme of thing really matters, like how much it really matters, like, and not saying it doesn't matter at all, But no, watching Ole Miss, you know what worried me about the Ole Miss situation? Watching those guys jump up and dunk the ball. Because every time they landed, I just thought about me as a coach, like, oh God, please just don't get hurt. Outside of that, I'm totally fine with it. That's why, Chris, again, I think we should, if you want to really get something out of it, let's have a legit scrimmage against another team for the spring game. It's not like some people are like, oh, well, you increase the risk of injury. What? What do you mean? It's football. If you're going to tackle, you're going to tackle. It doesn't matter if it's your own guys or it's some guys you don't know, but you don't know their playbook. You don't know their adjustments. You're having to do things on the fly, right? It's a little bit different because you're hitting somebody in a different jersey. But if you're not going to do that, I've got no problem because you've been in the practices. You've done team at the practices, right? And if you're Ole Miss, you got a pretty old team. Like, what really, outside of maybe some transfers that you got, like adjusting to the new system, were you really going to get out of that? Now, as far as not tackling, I don't mind that either. We've tackled the whole time. Like, if I'm still wondering if you can tackle by the spring game, you can't play for me. You can't. Like, that's a big part about being on defense, right? So, no, I don't mind it because I think the spring game against each other is borderline pointless. Borderline. Not that it's totally pointless, but to me, if you made like a pros cons list on the spring game, I'd end up being like, no, let's can Joey Chestnut come out here and shove as many Nathan's hot dogs in his mouth as possible? I'd probably be asking that question too. Why not just treat it like just a huge recruiting weekend and you just have fun with them? Like that's what I would do.
Just turn into a fan day. Maybe like a Pro Bowl thing.
Why not?
Competition.
Why not? And and if you look at Ole Miss and Missouri, if we're talking about projection, I mean, they're basically the same team. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. I think Ole Miss is a little bit better, but no, I don't mind it at all. I'm old school, but I'm a hybrid, man. Like I can adjust to this. Malleability is a good thing.
Per sources confirmed, Jake Crane hates spring games, thus hates fun. That is the new word on the street.
Yeah, so. Well, it's a facto.
Jake Crane.
You work
Crane
for the bank. Yeah. Bank works for me.
Jake Crane, Crane and Company guys do a great job. Jake, let folks know where they can check you out on a daily basis.
Yeah, man, it's fun fun hopping on. Can't wait for the season to get here. Look, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N. And Company. We go live each weekday morning. We take live calls, talk a little bit of everything, especially college football. That's our baby. But call in, come hang out. If you can't catch us live, it stays on there forever and ever and ever and until Vol-Tec decides to drop the nukes on us.
And this will be out before the NFL draft. So, folks, tune in live stream for the NFL draft. You guys will be rocking.
We will be live streaming the first round. Join our stream. Let our streams touch.
Indeed. Jake, you're the man. We'll do it again soon.
All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.